welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, feeling fully funded today. Thanks so much for joining us. As usual, we got a great Monday show for you. Just really happy to be back with you, too. Thank you so much for being with us. It means everything. Whether you're joining us on a Monday or a Tuesday, because for some folks, it's Tuesday right now. If you're listening maybe in Australia or Philippines or Singapore, we're happy to have you with us. If you're here in the U.S., we're happy to have you with us. We're just happy to be here and know we're going to be here for another 3 months thanks to your support. Second hour, we got Carlo coming in, and we're going to do the Bible Blueprint for Confession. And as a matter of fact, one of the most common things that people say about why they're not Catholic is, well, why should I confess to a priest? Why should I have to confess to a priest? I'll just talk to Jesus directly. So we'll look at what the Bible has to say about that and try to take that blueprint and make sense of it with Carlo the second hour. First hour, I'm really excited because our good friend Father Paul Cech is back with us. Ask a priest this hour. You can ask anything that it is appropriate to ask a priest about, so long as it's radio friendly. 888-318-7884. Maybe it's a theological question, a moral question. Maybe it's a pastoral question, something about your family or your prayer life or your marriage. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Father Paul Cech is the executive director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Wisconsin. Father Paul Cech, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Cy. You know how much I enjoy these occasions to talk with you and hear from your listeners.
Well, we're always so grateful that you join with us. Let me just give that number again, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And I said moral questions. Your degree is actually in moral theology, right? You're a moral theologian?
It is. Well, I don't know if I would call myself a moral theologian. I have a degree in moral theology, and I teach it occasionally. How's that?
Okay, fair enough. Well, who is a moral? Like you would put St. Francis Liguori in that?
St. Alphonsus, surely. Yeah, He's our patron. Can I take a shot at the question, why do I have to confess my sins to a priest, just very simply?
Oh, yes, please do.
Well, if someone says to me, Father, why do I have to confess my sins to a priest, my answer is because you want to.
Ah, tell us about that, Father.
Well, part of the way that we're wired is to listen, to receive, and to desire the attention of others. And one of the ways that we do that in the natural order is by listening to people and by being in their company. When I say I'm sorry, to focus it in on that. When I say I'm sorry, I want someone to hear that, and I want a response. I want to hear someone say, "You're forgiven."
Amen. That is just that is right. I was wondering this Saturday. I was actually sitting in the where I go to confession sometimes, just sitting in the pew there while people went to two priests, and I was thinking, I wonder. I mean, is it a burden for the priest to hear all that you hear? Like, do you ever feel like, it's a lot?
No, I don't think. I think there's a grace of holy orders that helps us to bear that. I think there's a sadness that certainly that our Lord has been offended, that we're complicit in that as sinners ourselves as priests, and we see the damage that sin does.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what is painful. And because of the grace of holy orders, the desire is really to help alleviate suffering and where possible for prevent it. And so that's the desire that we have,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Our number again, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Lots and lots more parishes opening up for confessions. I feel very, very grateful for that. I have to say, Father, in I tell people that people keep talking about what was closed and everything. The priests at my parish, I just want to always say thanks to them every Saturday outside throughout the whole pandemic hearing confessions. And it was just sometimes three or four of them out there in the parking lot, just hearing confessions. I was so grateful to them.
I think, Cy, we've seen a great deal of creativity and ingenuity on the part of priests who have a deep love for souls and the desire to ensure that the singular graces of the sacraments would always be available to their people.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt, too, like that the people coming, the Catholic people coming, lining up for confession on Saturday mornings, even in the COVID, because my parish is downtown. It was quite a witness, I think, to the people just passing by or driving by or whatnot, to see all these people lined up just to seeking God's forgiveness, seeking to confess their sins.
Yeah. Well, that's another incarnational reality. We have to go someplace that is specific to and reserved for the special meeting of heaven and earth. We know that we can pray anywhere. The incarnation makes that possible, and those living in a state of grace are able to climb the ladder to heaven where they are. But even with that, there is in the mind of the church something significant and telling about a point on the ground that is a sacred location that's reserved for one thing only, and that's the worship of God.
Yeah. Again, our number 888-318-7884. Father Paul Cech is our guest. He's the executive director of the Shrine to Our Lady of Guadalupe and the former rector of St. John Vianney Seminary?
St. John Fisher.
St. John Fisher.
Only,
oh, yeah.
Right, the only cardinal ever martyred for the faith.
Really?
Yeah. Thus far.
Wow.
And I think one of the, what were there, 30 or 33 bishops at the time, and he was the only one who remained faithful during the time of Henry and then his daughter Elizabeth's persecution of the church.
Let's go to Ryan in Midland, Texas, listening on the new and improved Catholic Answers Live app. You can start us off, Ryan. Go ahead with your question for Father Paul Cech.
Hey, Father, I wanted to ask you, when the 1965 Missal and Mass were around back then, did priests ever have freedom to choose whether or not they celebrate Mass all in Latin or mostly in Latin with some vernacular? And did they have freedom to choose whether or not they celebrated facing East or facing the people?
Those are good questions, Ryan, and I'll admit I don't know the answer. I know there are people who suggest that that hybrid period between the 62 Missal and the Missal of 69 or 70 was optimal from some points of view, but it was only a transition. It didn't last very long. And what particular rubrics and instructions were given to priests at that time, I don't know. Is there something in particular you're interested in?
Yeah, I have a copy of this missal that also kind of squeegeed in a 70 missal with it, and I was just curious if priests had permissibility to choose if they could use all Latin or some vernacular, while mostly in Latin.
Right. Yeah. A good question. Transition period, of course, it didn't last, but might be informative for us on a couple of points. Maybe that's where you're headed. But fair, good for you for asking.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. It was good to hear from you again. Our number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest is Father Paul Cech. It's Ask a Priest on this Monday afternoon, and now all the lines full except for one. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with lots of questions. Questions appropriate for a priest, whether they're pastoral or theological questions, right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The people who call More to Life are often hurting so much. I just want to reach through the radio and hug them. I want them to know how loved they are and how much God wants to fill their hearts with His healing grace and His deep desire to completely transform the life of anyone who's open to the movement of His Holy Spirit.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour, Father Paul Cech, and your questions welcome. It's Ask a Priest. You can ask Father whatever you like. I have to say this before I go back to the phones. It's Manic Monday. They got all these things that they're doing now. I don't know if Tuesday is Taco Tuesday, but Friday, I think, was 50% off Friday or something. So it's a lot of alliteration. Manic Monday means on Mondays you get 50% off any school of apologetics course at shop.catholic.com. That's a pretty good deal, 50% off. There's a whole bunch of courses now there, too, at the School of Apologetics. Just go to shop.catholic.com, and as long as it's today, Manic Monday, up till midnight Hawaii time, you get that 50% off. Up next, we go to Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on Holy Family Radio. Thomas in Grand Rapids, you are up next. Thomas, go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi. I'm a seminarian, actually, for the Diocese of Grand Rapids. And one of the things that we seminarians talk about a lot is how can parish priests evangelize to fallen away Catholics?
Okay. Well, Thomas, stay the course. How far along are you in your studies?
I'll be college 3 this fall, actually.
Okay, good for you. Stay the course. You're much needed. Well, look, that's a very important question of the day because of the population that number represents. One thing that we tried years ago when I was a parish priest would be 20 years ago now was what's popularly called theology on tap. And we tried to take the teachings of the church into the public forum in a place where people wouldn't feel self-conscious for coming if they were not, say, churchgoers. But I think even if you don't use that setting, if you can look for topics of general interest, I mean, like the one that'll be on Next Star, why do I have to confess my sins to a priest, and try to give these things some play outside the parish, or ask people to invite friends, falling away Catholics, family members to come, and just use it as an occasion for some teaching, and some teaching with a smile. And you'll be able to help deepen the faith of the people who are already there, and others perhaps that they would come. But I would try something like that. Person-to-person contact is always the best, it seems to me. There are other things, too. I mean, the door-to-door census and evangelization techniques are also fine if you're able to do that. But I would say something like that, a lecture series, and maybe it doesn't have to be even on dogma, but just topics of current interest. Not all of them moral, some moral, but not all things that are likely to cast a wide net. So that'd be one suggestion.
What do you think, Thomas?
Okay. I think that's a great answer. Yeah. And, you know, seeing a lot of family members or friends who have fallen away from the faith, it really just breaks my heart. And, you know, to see all these parishes and schools closing down and then looking at the sheer number of fallen away Catholics, like, they would be open if they were still in the faith. But I also don't blame them, really, because there seems to be, you know, for the last half century, a general overall lack of catechesis. And, you know, I had my own crisis of faith moment in high school. And what really got me through was, you know, institutions like Catholic Answers, you know, providing the answers for theology and philosophy. If nothing else, you guys may have helped produce a priest because of your answers. That really kept
that's
me.
Good.
Praise God for that.
Well,
Thomas
that's great. Listen, two other quick things that I could say. Remember, when you study the Summa of St. Thomas, he always poses the hardest objections. So don't be afraid of tough questions and things that really get to the heart of the matter. That demonstrates our integrity and our confidence in the truth. So we really want to kick the tires. We want to get down to the issues that are underneath the issues, which are often personal. So remember, if somebody has objections to the church's teaching on something, there may be a personal piece of this. That's another thing to keep in mind. But as a matter of pedagogy, what I try to do is a kind of narrowing of the funnel. So start with those things that we know are common to all, that people want to have life and life that continues. They do want to know the truth of things, like, is this acid indigestion or am I having a heart attack? What is this pain in my chest? And everybody wants love. So start with as wide an application of things, and then you become more specific to revealed teaching. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
All right,
okay.
Thomas.
All the best, Thomas. Stay the course.
Hey, Thomas, hang on. We'll send you a copy of Jimmy Akin's book, The Bible is a Catholic Book. You know, maybe that'll help you answer some questions, have some answers as people ask those questions for you too, and call back sometime. It'd be wonderful to hear how your studies are progressing. Our guest is Father Paul Cech. Our number is 888-318-7884, and it's Ask a Priest today on Catholic Answers Live. Let's go to Austin in New York, watching on YouTube. Austin, go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi, my question is, will the Eucharist be in the new earth?
Do you mean at the end of time?
Yeah, like when like we're resurrected and he makes like the new earth.
Yep. Well, we will have the Lamb, but we will not have the Lamb of God. We won't have need for the sacraments anymore, because the elect will have an immediate bond or appropriation of the glory of God. So there won't be need for grace anymore in the way that you and I receive it today in the sacraments.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, right. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Austin. Thanks very much. 888-318-7884, our number, Father Paul Cech. And man, lots of folks want to talk to a priest today. Lots of
Yay!
Folks online. Yeah, I know. That's job security for you, huh?
I'm in a growth industry.
Yeah. You are. We need priests. I don't know if you're aware of this. I mean, I know how much you've worked in this department as a rector of a seminary
run into it once or twice.
Yeah,
yes.
We need those priests. Do you know, Father, I'm going to go to the next call, but do you know when I first realized that we really, really need priests? I went with a priest one time into a juvenile detention center where young men were being held who had been convicted of a crime. And we went in on a Saturday, and those boys lined up. I think there must have been 300 of them. They just lined up. They wanted that priest to hear their confession. And I thought, you could have 10 priests here, and you couldn't give these boys the amount of time that they need. You know, they just wanted to talk to a priest. Yeah. And it made me realize, this is not just a hypothetical need. This is a powerfully felt need in the world. We need more priests.
There's a saint from the French church, his name was Jean-Jacques Lataste, and he preached a mission in a French women's prison called Cadillac, and out of that came an order of Dominican sisters, the Sisters of Bethany.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah, they were all Mary Magdalenes of a kind, and only the superior knew their story.
Oh, isn't that something? Wow. When was that? That must have been before the revolution.
No, it's after.
Oh, after the revolution.
Yeah,
oh.
I think so, yeah. It's more recent.
Okay, I guess we're going to Kentucky next. Casey in Kentucky, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 130. Casey, glad to have you. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Okay, I just started a new job, signing people up to apply for food stamps over the phone. And so one question that I have to ask each person is if they're male or female. So my question is it morally okay for me to ask someone what their sex is if I already have, like, a pretty good idea from their name and the sound of their voice what it is?
Yes. Yep. I don't see any problem with that. That's just a factual question, Casey. So, there's nothing immoral about it that I can see.
Casey, if I may, is your concern having to do with the whole transgender thing, and you're thinking this is an opportunity for people to kind of do that thing of saying I'm a woman when I'm a man or a man when I'm a woman?
Well, really just when I first got this job, they actually, like, asked me, like, if I was male or female. And it kind of, I was kind of offended. It kind of made me feel uncomfortable, but so much just kind of, I thought, well, maybe that's wrong. But I can see, you know, why it's okay, too.
Well, in Casey, and if it's any help to you, in a former time, we would have called that something that was self-evident. I'm using that in the way that Aristotle or St. Thomas would, something that's self-evident. It doesn't need any reasoning, and it doesn't need any explanation. It's just, if you like, obvious. Today, as Sai is suggesting, there's more confusion around it. But this is a question of basic information like what's your address and your phone number and your date of birth. So I don't see any difficulty.
Okay, Casey?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, congratulations on the new job.
Mm-hmm. Persevere.
Father Paul Check, our guest, it's Ask a Priest, and the lines just will not let up. There's loads and loads
Good.
Of people, so I'm going to keep going. Mike in North Carolina now, listening on the new and improved Catholic Answers Live app. Mike, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hey, Father. Hey, how are you guys? Simple. I've recently discovered that my marriage is not valid because when I was married, there was no Catholic priest present, and after going to confession, the priest told me that I can no longer receive communion until it becomes co-valid. Is that factual?
Convalidated, yeah.
And,
yep.
And secondly, well, if my wife isn't up for it, what do I do?
Yeah, okay. What I'm going to presume here is that when you say a priest wasn't present, that you didn't have what the church calls a dispensation from form, which means that you had gone to the parish priest and said, we want to be married in the Lutheran church because my future wife is a Lutheran, or we want to get married over here in the Presbyterian church because he's a Presbyterian. Then you're dispensed from form. I'm taking that wasn't the case, that you didn't go to the priest and that you were married either in the church of another Christian denomination or justice of the peace. Is that accurate?
I went to in our marriage preparation. We're talking to the Episcopalian priest, and I said, "Hey, look, I'm a Catholic. Is there anything I should be concerned about getting married in your church?" And he said, "No, we're just Catholic light." And I said, "Okay, then let's proceed like normal."
Okay. Well, that was a little
there. My own ignorance.
So that's the lack of form. Okay. So yes, what the priest told you in confession is correct. Because from the point of view of the church, the marriage bond, the covenant of marriage, has not arisen, because the vows were not exchanged before the church's minister or official witness, who's the priest. So this is not a difficult problem to fix, if that's the right word. You go to your parish priest and say, these were the circumstances, and then he may want to do some pre-cana with you, and obviously would like to meet the both of you and talk with you, and then it'll be a simple and quiet ceremony. So it's not going to cost you a lot of money. You don't have to have another reception. You don't send out invitations. I think maybe one thing to say to your wife is, I've recently come back, if that's true, or I want to practice my Catholic faith fully, and I would like you to join me in this, but my conscience can't be at ease. So it's not first about the question of human intimacy. That's important because that's an expression of something. It's first, I think, the question about your conscience, and that's the way I would appeal to her. Make sense?
That's a very good explanation. Absolutely does. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
See your parish priest. He will help you, Mike, and I'll pray for you.
Yeah, he's been great. Thank you so much.
Persevere.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. Father Paul Check, our guest. And let's see who we got next. We're going down to we're going up to Wallingford, Connecticut. Nathan, watching on Twitch, you are up next. Nathan, go ahead with your question for Father Paul Check.
Taking my call.
Oh, happy to.
So my question is, I recently discovered that the catechism is not infallible. I'm a little confused by that. They said it had to do with theological opinion, which I'm also confused on what it actually means. So if the catechism is not infallible, how are Catholics supposed to, like, use that? And then what is theological opinion?
Okay. right. It's a good question, Nathan. And some distinctions are necessary here. When we're examining the question of the authoritative character of a Catholic teaching, we consider not only the content of the teaching, but the manner in which it's conveyed, the level of teaching, the style, in what way was it spoken, and by whom, and by when. So the highest level of teaching in this way, apart from divine revelation and the conviction that we have in the creed, is a statement of papal infallibility. What the catechism is a collection of teachings. So the infallibility doesn't reside in the document, in the form, it's in the content.
That
would take a little more to explain.
And we can do that when we come back. We'll just take a quick break. Okay. We'll be right back with more Ask a Priest with Father Paul Cech.
Catholic Answers Live.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers is doing it again. We're holding our 7th annual Apologetics Conference this September in beautiful San Diego, California, and we'd like to see you there. Join us September 23rd to 26th for a lively and inspiring conference with an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to jumpstart your faith. It's a great chance to meet all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and very special guests as we spend 4 days talking about worshiping and adoring our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is where it all begins. Don't miss what promises to be the event of the season. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite, inspire, and inform your faith. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 888-291-8000 to register.
This is Dr. David Anders. Does the problem of evil keep you from believing in God?
Join us for Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Told you it was going to be a good show. Father Paul Cech is our guest this hour. Carlo will be in here second hour. Carlo Roussard, the author of a whole bunch of books, is going to come in here and talk to us about the Bible blueprint for confession. So you're welcome in the second hour, by the way, if you're not a Catholic, and this really bugs you, why should I confess to a priest? Or where did they even get this confession idea, given what the Bible says? Second hour would be perfect for you to call with your question or your challenge for Carlo. This hour, you can ask anything you want. It's Ask a Priest. Father Paul Cech is a priest, and he is the executive director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Wisconsin. And we're on the phone now with Nathan in Wallingford, Connecticut, wanting to know
not
about...
Not far from my old stomping grounds there. That's good.
Yeah, your diocese is... What's the diocese?
Bridgeport. So, yeah, Wallingford is just a town or two up in the Archdiocese of Hartford. Father, Nathan's asked a very good question. And my encouragement to Nathan is to look at the specific teaching itself. So, for example, when you look in the first part of the catechism, which addresses matters of the creed, let's take something very basic like Jesus Christ is a true God and true man, that's an infallible teaching. And it's infallible not because it's contained in the collection or the book called the catechism. It's infallible because it's taught to us authoritatively by the church for 2,000 years. So the question of the security of the truth in some instances relates to the document or the form of the teaching, but our first interest is what's the teaching itself? And that's what we want to look at. Is there something in specific in the catechism that you have a question about or somebody's challenged you about?
I read somewhere that, like, I didn't really read much about it because it didn't seem like it's really important to me, but, like, it did seem important to me, but I wasn't worried about it. So the church, Pope Francis changed something about what the catechism said on the death penalty. That was different from what it originally said.
Yes, and that's not an infallible teaching. It's a matter of prudential judgment. In my opinion, it would be much too strong to call it a development of doctrine, because it's not a doctrinal teaching. It's not something that comes to us from divine revelation. It's the application of a moral principle that grows out of the virtue of justice and the responsibilities of the state to maintain the common good. So he's made an adjustment, but this doesn't touch the question of infallibility.
Okay, so that's like what... So would that be what theological opinion is?
I don't even think that enters into the realm of theological opinion. In the moral teachings, we are looking initially, anyway, at human nature. For example, to lie and to steal are things that are contrary to our human nature, and they apply to all people, to Hindus, to Buddhists, to Christians, to Jews, to Muslims. Doesn't matter. There are specific moral teachings that are particular to Catholic Church. We were just considering a sacramental question with regard to marriage, but then there would be the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, which are moral teachings, but they grow out of our understanding of Christ. So this is, I wouldn't call what the Pope has done there even a theological opinion. I would say it's a prudential judgment, going back to the way St. John Paul II saw the death penalty.
Nathan, thanks very much. I do hope that was helpful for you. Up next, we go to Lake Wylie in South Carolina. Listening on Carolina Catholic Radio is Frank in Lake Wylie. Go ahead, Frank, with your question for Father Paul Cech.
Hi, Father. How are you?
Frank from Lake Wylie, one of my favorite listeners.
I know that at your shrine recently you had a canon law conference, and I was wondering what the latest canon law thinking is by canon law scholars who were at your conference on the motu proprio recently issued by Pope Francis.
Yep. Well, there, as you can imagine, there was quite a bit of discussion about that, and I think we're going to watch how things unfold. But what I could do is just relate what's already in the public forum. One of our speakers was Bishop Papraki, who is the Bishop of Springfield in Illinois and a canonist and a very well-regarded one. And in a decree in his diocese, he cited Canon 87 of the Code of Canon Law, which allows the diocesan bishop to set aside a universal discipline, that is to say, something that has come from Rome, for the spiritual good of his diocese. So what he has chosen to do is to continue what was being done in his diocese prior to the motu proprio, according to the Code of Canon Law, which gives him that authority for the spiritual good of the souls who are immediately under his care. So that's I would invite people's attention to his decree on that question.
Okay, Frank?
Very good. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Frank, let me just add to that Bishop Papraki explained his thinking on our air. When was it, Darren? 2 weeks ago. Was it two or 3 weeks ago. So if you just go back through the calendar in July of Catholic Answers Live, we have that about a 45-minute interview we did with Bishop Papraki on that. So thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. Our guest, Father Paul Cech, lots and lots of folks continue on the line. It's Ask a Priest. And up next, we go to Eduardo in Victor, Idaho, also listening to EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio, channel 130. Eduardo, thank you very much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father Paul Cech.
Hi, guys. Hi. I hope everything's going well for you. I'm part of a small group out of Wisconsin. I actually participate via Zoom call, and we're actually trying to get a better understanding of the various issues that are going on in today's world with regard to homosexuality, transgenderism, divorce. All of these hot-button issues, and so we've taken it upon ourselves to go through the theology of the body. And one of the questions that has come up is are those 133 speeches that St. John Paul II did, are those considered to be Catholic doctrine or his opinion, or Or how should we view that? And are they subject to some change later by another pope?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good question, Eduardo. I think we consider them to be part of the papal magisterium of St. John Paul II. And I'm not an authoritative student of the theology of the body, but what I think I could say is that what John Paul has done is try to take a particular lens, both a philosophical and a theological lens, and look at the profound reality that we are created in the image and likeness of God, and that the divine essence that is in us tells us something about God and something about who we are. So it's a form of teaching. It's a style of teaching. It would be a school of teaching. That doesn't make it infallible or not infallible. Certainly there were things that he spoke about in there that would be considered either part of the deposit of faith or perennial teaching of the church and substantive. But no one, including St. John Paul II, would make the claim that everything that he's teaching there rises to the level of infallibility. I think it's fair to say it's secure. And we have a good authoritative guide, but are there some things that perhaps he gave a certain emphasis to or looked at under a different lens that might be complementary to or different than something, say, St. Thomas or St. Augustine might have said? Sure, but that's not necessarily troubling to us. Is there something in particular that you have in mind?
Yeah, I was actually wondering about the spousal relationship that he talks about there in terms of the God-Christ relationship to humanity versus the male-female relationship that we have here that drives much of the decision making that the church makes with regard to marriage, you know, same-sex marriage and divorce and things of that nature.
Sure. Well, I mean, the bridegroom-bride theology goes back to St. Paul, so that's something that is deep in our tradition and deep in the revealed religion. Augustine said we're all female with respect to God. In Latin, the word for soul is anima. God is the initiator and we are the receiver. The Song of Songs from the Old Testament is understood as a metaphor, analogy for God in the world, Christ in the church, and Christ in the soul. So if that's what you're thinking about in terms of nuptial relationship, that has a long provenance in our teaching.
Thanks, Eduardo. I'm going to leave it there because I have to take a break. It's Ask a Priest. Father Paul Cech is our guest. A couple more calls coming up when we come back. But I think we've got time. If you want to dial, we've probably got time for one or two more after that as well. So if you got a question for a priest, 888-318-7884. Rachel, hang on. We're coming to you next. Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Ask a Priest this hour. I'm your host, Cy Kellett, and our guest is Father Paul Cech. Father, I haven't really given you a chance to say anything about the Shrine to Our Lady of Guadalupe there in La Crosse, Wisconsin. You want to tell people about what it is and why they should visit?
Come visit. It's a magnificent oasis of peace in western Wisconsin. And let me pitch it this way. This year we received a special indult from the Holy See, which says that pilgrims who come here to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse receive the same grace as if they went to the Basilica in Mexico City.
Ooh.
So come here and receive a lot of grace from Our Lady. Yes.
Because you live in Wisconsin now, did you automatically get to feel happy when the Bucks won the NBA championship, or is that irrelevant?
You know, I'm an old New York Knicks fan, but I haven't followed basketball for years.
A New York Knicks fan?
Can you believe it?
Really?
I know, way back in the 70s. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when they won a game. I think that was 84.
Willis Reed.
Oh, yeah, Willis Reed coming back from the injury. Yeah.
Those were my Knicks.
Well, we got to get you out of Wisconsin in late September, Father. September 23rd through 26th, we've got to have you come here for the conference.
I'm coming. Are we going to hear a pitch?
I want to know what you're going to do at the conference. You're going to give us some spiritual teaching?
I think we're going to reprise this form called the lunchtime talk, something like that.
Yeah.
And, they're supposed to be intended to be spiritual in nature and help people to live the Christian life. And I look forward to anybody who's there.
Well, Erica's here with us, so she's probably going to... Are you here to schedule, Father, or are you just...
He's scheduled.
He's scheduled. She already did that.
Father's like an honorary member of the Catholic Answer staff. He, like, comes to all of our events. He's, like, our go-to man. He's great.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, it's because his brother is our boss.
He talks about the lunchtime talks, and they're actually probably my favorite, because you can go grab your box lunch, you can go grab, you know, your snack or whatever you want to have, and so it's a little bit more casual vibe during the lunchtime talk.
But
almost everybody comes. Like, everybody goes to grab their food and then just comes right back in. So it's like you're not really gone to lunch, but you have.
Yeah, you just chill and you listen
but, like,
to
you
one
still
of
get
the great
like hundreds of people
teachers.
Hanging out in the ballroom, just eating their lunch.
You say that ballroom.
Ballroom.
You sounded like you said something.
The
else.
Ballroom.
Not in the barroom. We're in the ballroom.
Well, you know,
that's
if you want to have
day.
That for lunch.
All right. So look, CatholicAnswersConference.com is where you can go to sign up. It's more than 500 people now, isn't
we
it?
We are. I'm like astonished.
I'm not.
You're not. You said it from the beginning. We were going to hit high numbers. You were going to
hit 1,000.
No, I said 1,000. I know. Yeah. We're going to get there. I was skeptical. I thought, you know, people are still going to want to stay home. People are unsure. Maybe we'll get 300. Maybe. We're over 500 people. Come have fun with 500 of your closest Catholic friends, everyone. It's going to be a great time. We have, on top of great speakers, right, we have a great lineup. We have Bishop Strickland. We have,
Paul
Gondreau, Sister Marcella.
Yeah.
Father Paul's going to be there. We have all of our guys, Jimmy, Tim, Carlo, Trent, and Joe Heschmeyer is our new apologist. He's going to be there. But on top of that great lineup, we also have a great number of events. We have square dancing with Jimmy. We have a poolside reception for everyone to just hang out and get to know each other. If you're a Society 315 member, there's a special event for you guys that in one of the evenings. There's just so much stuff packed into 3 days.
If that's not enough, we're going to do the radio show twice.
Yep.
And we're not sure if it's going to work because Nick doesn't work here anymore. And Darren's got to do the whole thing himself.
I know, all by yourself.
Could be so exciting. We could just crash and burn live on the air there. It's possible. So
come see it hit the fan.
CatholicAnswersConference.com. CatholicAnswersConference.com. And Sister Maristella would be worth the price of admission just to see her. I don't know if you know her, Father. She's a sister of life. I think she might be a superior officer to you. I know you were a Marine officer. She was a Naval officer. So
let's get the order of precedence right here. The Marines are the senior service to the Navy. And yes,
that's exactly not right.
When we get together, I like to remind her of the third verse of the Marine Corps hymn,
which is
LT to our core, which we are proud to serve. In many a strife we fought for life and never lost our nerve. If the Army and the Navy ever look on heaven's scenes, they'll find the streets are guarded by United States. So she knows that.
Well, that's a perfect verse for her, because the Sisters of Life are just, they're wonderful people. She's also a naval officer. She's just the most interesting.
Naval Academy grad. Yep.
You know that? I didn't even know she was an Annapolis grad.
Annapolis grad. She is. Yeah.
Wow. She really is a better military officer than you or your brother.
I'm going to go tell him right
Probably
now.
Probably because he's holier.
Maybe that's right. All right, CatholicAnswersConference.com. You want to say anything else, Erica?
Come join us. It's a fun time.
It's going to be great. There's going to be a thousand people there. All right, let's go to Rachel in Athens, Alabama, watching on YouTube. Rachel, thanks for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Father Paul Check.
Thanks, Di. Father Paul, I have just one quick question. We just recently switched to a new Catholic church in our area. I'm a cradle Catholic, grown up Catholic my whole life, but this church is relatively new. They have not actually built a parish yet. They're in a multi-purpose building right now, so they don't have pews with kneelers. My understanding was always that if you could not kneel, you were supposed to stand during the Eucharistic prayers. This church does not do that. They sit. And I kind of feel like it's demeaning the Eucharist a little bit, and people are not really understanding what the Eucharist is. And with that being such a huge problem in our society, I was just wondering, is there anything I can do about that? I didn't want to go to the priest and be like, hey, I don't think y'all are doing this right, because we're brand new in the church, so I don't really want to.
Right. You don't want to run the place yet, Rachel? Okay. So. All right. Fair enough.
You
make a very good point.
I was just wondering.
Yeah. No, you make a very good point, Rachel, with regard to the question of posture. I remember years ago I read something that Romano Guardini wrote about signs and the importance of reverence in we make the sign of the cross and so on. And posture tells us our relationship to something, and standing is considered more formal than sitting. So I think you're onto something there. Whether you can get anywhere with that or not, I don't know. I think people can still kneel on the floor. Not everyone can, but some people can. Maybe you can ask the pastor if that's something that he would object to. But your instincts are good, and I honor them, salute them. Yeah.
All right, Rachel.
All right, great. Thank you. Yeah, I do kneel. I have three small children, and they like to kneel with me, but it's kind of hard because all the chairs are so close together. But
yeah, fair.
We
fair.
Do our best.
You do. All right, keep giving that cheerful and faithful and peaceful witness.
Rachel,
great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I think kids do like to kneel. I've always noticed that, especially the little ones. They they're doing something that the big people do. I don't know. They like kneeling.
And my counsel to families with lots of small children is to sit up front and the kids closer to where they can be engaged with what's happening at the altar. Yeah.
Rachel, thanks. I'm going to keep moving to get as many on as I can. Ashley in Nebraska. And if you're in Nebraska, you're probably listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Ashley, glad to have you. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi, happy Monday.
Monday.
Super quick, I was curious. Hi. So throughout two different parts of the Liturgy of the Eucharist, we hear specific saints named. And I just wondered how they got chosen to have the honorable mention at Mass. why those specific saints?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. I'm sorry, this is Ashley?
This is Ashley, yeah.
Ashley, okay. Well, I'm glad you mentioned it. I'm gathering that you're referring to the two lists of saints that are in the Roman canon. One is listed, the one list comes before the consecration, and the second list comes after. Those saints go back to the beginning of the church. And I couldn't say exactly when the last one was, but it would be before the 5th century, I'd say. So the canon of the Mass, the Roman canon, goes back for 1,500 years. And so what you hear at Mass, when you hear the Roman canon, is a prayer that's been said stably in the Latin Church for 15 centuries. And that's one of the reasons why I say that prayer every day. I'd say the canon every day, Eucharist Prayer 1, because I like to be connected to all of my predecessors who have stood at the altar for 1,500 years. But that's why those saints are there, because they've been there for a very long time.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, and it just makes me love the history of our faith even more to know these things. So thank you very much.
Thanks be to God. God bless you, Ashley.
Let's go to Michelle. I'm just trying to get to as many folks as I can before we have to let Father go. So we'll just go straight to Michelle in Stamford, Connecticut, watching on YouTube. Michelle, go ahead with your question for Father Paul Check.
Hi, Father Check. This is Michelle from St. John's in Stamford.
I remember you well in
Stomping Ground.
Yes, I was there for 6 years. Okay.
Yes, very fondly. So, Father, I have a question for you. So my quote Catholic school is promoting an LGBTQ curriculum at school, and I am going to speak up and have spoken up in the past about it, but with the words and with the words coming from our head in Rome, our Pope, I know that they are going to twist. I know that they're going to twist the faith around and use what our Pope is saying as a reason why they can go forward with their agenda. And I'm wondering how you think.
Michelle, I'm sorry about this. You're just breaking up a bit. So I'm just going to give it to Father as the way I understood it. But so, Father, teaching LGBTQ stuff and promoting that in a Catholic school, how would you respond as a parent?
That's good. Well, very much in Pope Francis's favor, he's made strong statements against gender ideology. And I would certainly point to those things. And I would distinguish that from the question of homosexuality, which is perhaps where your question is directed. I think I would stay very close to the Catechism and use the Catechism, because the Catechism is still and always will be the principal teaching document for the faith alongside sacred scripture. And you can certainly use quotes also from sacred scripture. And those may not win the day. They probably won't, but they'll bear witness to the truth. And they may say some things to people that they're not familiar with. I would also make sure that in the realm of the sixth commandment, that we address things as widely as possible to include things like contraception and masturbation and fornication and other things that do harm to the nature of marriage. That way it will not appear as though we're focusing in too hard on one group of people, but we're looking more carefully at the virtue of chastity and how it applies to all Christians.
So, Michelle, what do you make of that?
Oh, that's perfect. It's exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you, Father Check. You always have the answer.
Prayers, Michelle. God bless you. Say hello to your good mother for me.
Thank you. I will. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Michelle. That Father, it strikes me what you just said, that we can sometimes think this is a problem of teaching LGBTQ or whatever other letters you're supposed to throw in now, but stuff. But the idea is that we've lost the nerve to teach the fullness of what Christ Himself taught about chastity and faithfulness, we just got to get back to that. And that's not picking on anybody. That's just get back to what Christ taught.
Well, one mistake that's often made is that somehow our Lord was more expansive, generous, or forgiving when it was the question of the sixth commandment. But actually, in the New Testament, He raises the bar.
Right.
One particular episode where He says, well, Moses said that you could divorce, but that was for your hardness of heart. Then He goes back to the beginning, right? So actually, our Lord raises the bar. If you look at a woman with lust, that's the same thing as committing the act, certainly by intention. So it's not that Jesus becomes easier with regard to these questions. No, He warns us of their danger. And why is He doing it? Because He wants us to love people for who they are and not for what they can do.
Amen. Father, may we have your blessing before we go.
Through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, St. Joseph, and St. Juan Diego, may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
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 Thank you so much. Father Paul Check is Executive Director of the Our Lady of Guadalupe Center in La Crosse, Wisconsin. You can find it. Just type all those words in and you will find it. And do go make a visit. Thanks, Father. We'll see you again soon, I hope. Well, we will
Look
see you.
Yes, you will.
At the very latest, we'll see you September 23rd here in San
Lunchtime
Diego.
Lunchtime talk.
All right, Carlos, I see him. He's on his way in here. We're going to talk about the Bible blueprint for confession. I said Carlo, not Carlos. Did you think I said Carlo? Oh, maybe I did say Carlo. I meant to say Carlo is here, but it came out. All right, we'll be right back. I'm learning to talk. It's getting better.